Peace be unto you from our God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Paul, formerly known as Saul. I was born a Benjamite, and I am of Hebrew ancestry. I was born in the city of Tarsus. My parents both were Pharisees. I studied under the great teacher Gamaliel for several years and was told that I was his brightest student. I came to you today that I may share my story with you. For I feel that there may be some among you who might feel that they have gone too far and have gone beyond the reach of God. Some may feel that the things they have done in their lives and the sins that they have committed have blocked them from even being used for God's service. Well, I'm here to tell you today, and I serve as an example, that it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you have done. God has called all of us. He has called us all to rescue. He has called us to be a rescuer of the lost. I know this all too well because he met me one day on the road of Damascus. Let me share my story with you. I was Saul, and I was a staunch Pharisee. I upheld the law to its fullest. But there were those who began to cause trouble. There were those who began this movement, proclaiming that there was a man named Jesus who was the Messiah. This was troubling because this was going against all that we had learned as Jews. And as a Pharisee, I wanted to put a stop to it. There was a man during the time by the name of Stephen who was a disciple of Christ. He was a proclaimer of the gospel. And he went about the city preaching and telling the people of this man named Jesus. And it came to a point where Stephen had upset the Sanhedrin court. And upon being brought to trial, he began to proclaim again the events that had taken place. And the priests, hearing this, became outraged. The people became incited. And they began to rush towards Stephen. So much so that they dragged him out of the synagogue. Now, I was there, though I was young. I didn't participate by throwing stones at Stephen and stoning him, but I was the leader of the pack. I was the one who encouraged it. I was the one who wanted to see him pay for his heinous crime of heresy. I was the one who the people laid their clothes at my feet and watched as they stoned Stephen. But there was one thing that was very interesting and disturbing. Because Stephen, while being stoned, did not do like some, whimper and cry for help. He continued to proclaim loudly this name, Jesus. to the point that he said, look, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw the heavens opened, as he proclaimed. And while he continued to be stoned, he continued to cry the more of this man, Jesus. And what he did was astonishing, because while the people stoned him, he asked God, he asked them to forgive them for what they were doing to him and not to lay this sin to their charge. And after he had said this, he went silent. But I still had the task. I was still determined to destroy the people of the way. Because they continued to proclaim this. They had scattered, and I was determined to find any who continued to go and proclaim this name, this gospel. For it was against everything, every principle that I stood for. I saw went after these people violently. I drugged them out of their homes and even to the point of death. I was a staunch Jew. I wanted to make certain that the law was upheld. I wanted to make certain that these people paid for their heinous crimes. So I went to the court. I went to the high priest and I asked him. I said, would you please give me documents, papers, that I may go to the city of Damascus, that if I find any person, man or woman, proclaiming this gospel, saying these things about this man, that I have the authority to bring them back to Jerusalem any way possible, that they may face trial and pay for their blasphemy. I, Saul, did this. I did it because I believed I was serving God, that I was protecting all that he had declared. So I received the papers, and I started on my journey. It didn't matter that Damascus was approximately 150 miles away from Jerusalem. It didn't matter. What mattered was that I get these people, these Christians, these people who were causing all this turmoil, all this problem. So I set out on my journey along with a few companions. And it was on the Damascus Road that I came face to face with my destiny. It was on the Damascus Road that I came face to face with the one that I had been fighting against. For as I journeyed, there was a bright light that shone from above. It was so bright that it blinded me. It knocked me to the ground. And as I fell to the ground and lay there, I hear this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I asked, who art thou, Lord? Knowing that it had to be a God, a higher being, someone mightier. And he responded, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Imagine. Everything that I had stood for, everything that I believed that was wrong, everything that I just viewed as being heinous, I came face to face with the true and the living God. And you're not any different from me. For all of us have had our Damascus Road experience. Now, it may not be as dramatic as mine, but somewhere in your life, the light of Christ shone. He showed you the way that you were going was not right. He showed you the path that you were traveling was dangerous. And he placed your feet on a road that would give you his blessing and bring him glory. So as I lie there on the ground and as I heard this voice, he told me to do three things as he prepared me for what I must do. And the first thing he told me was to rise. To get up from where I was. To move to where he wanted to take me. And that's what he says to us today. To you, my brothers and sisters. That when Christ shines his light into your life, you first have to rise. You have to rise first physically from the place where you are. Because you can't stay complacent. You can't stay idle. You have to move. You have to be in action. You have to be ready to take action. You have to be willing to move and be God's hands, his feet, his eyes. For it is through you and I that he will do his work. So he told me to rise, and I had to rise physically from the ground. But I also was rising not only physically, but I had to rise mentally. Because the way that I was thinking, I had to change. I had to become mentally prepared for the task. For I now faced the greatest person in my life, which was the one that I fought against for so long. And now he has confronted me and changed me to be who he had called me to be from the beginning. So I had to mentally change how I thought. I had to mentally be prepared for service. And that's what we have to do. The enemy so often will tell you that you can't do it, that you aren't worthy. And we aren't. But God is worthy. See, what God did for me was that he looked beyond my past and saw my future. What he did for me was he changed the way I walked and put me on a straight path. And there may be someone here this morning who feels that you are on a journey by yourself. And you feel that God has turned his back on you because you feel that you are just this rotten person. This person whom God cannot even use, cannot talk to. I can't possibly be a vessel for God, not all the things that I've done. But I serve as an example that God can do any and everything, even change a man like me. So he told me to rise, physically, mentally, but I also had to rise spiritually. Though I adhere to the law, I must now adhere to the law of Christ. I must now be obedient, as fervent as I was in obeying the law. I must now be fervent and obedient in obeying the law of Jesus Christ. And spiritually, I had to view myself differently than I did before. Because Saul was a church persecutor, but now Saul was becoming a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's something about being called by Christ to serve. For we all have been called for a purpose. And that purpose is that we must be a light for a dying world. For we've been called to rescue. And God had called me for that purpose. to proclaim the gospel to those who had been ostracized, the Gentiles, to proclaim it to the kings and to those who did not know him, who had been marginalized, who had been looked down upon, those who were told they weren't worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. And you, my brothers and sisters, like I, have been called for this service, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world, to young men, to young women, to children, and to every nation, that they know that Jesus died and lived and rose for them. But not only did he tell me to rise, he told me to go. And he told me to go because this was an irrevocable command, because I had to move in action. And the interesting thing about it was that he had me go to the very place I was going to wreak havoc, the place I was determined to destroy and drag people back who proclaimed this name. He had me to go to Damascus. And it's interesting how God will send you to the very place, to the people who know all about you. People who know everything you've ever done. People who know all the little secrets about you. And he will send you to those very people. He sent me to Damascus. And there was a man named Ananias who knew and heard about me. But God had already prepared the way for me to receive his son, to become part of the family of God. So I want to encourage you to know it, despite your past, God can use your past to bring a blessing in your present. It can be a witness to someone who has seen what you've gone through. It can be a witness to someone who you can tell, I used to be, but look what God has done in me. He can use your past to be the greatest testimony of your life, that it will bring him glory in the future. Think about it. Just take a moment and look back where you used to be and where you are now. And the lives that have been changed simply because you know Christ. And if you had not gone through, been through, had done some of the things, you couldn't tell them that God is the deliverer, that God is a healer, that he's a company keeper, that he's a friend when you have no friends, that he's a mother to the motherless, a father to the father. You couldn't tell them if you hadn't gone through those things. So God uses our past that we can be a great blessing in our present and glorify him in the future. So he told me to go. And as he sent me to Damascus, he caused me to be blind on the way. And that was a good thing, because in the darkness, I saw light, because he was able to speak to me, guide me, and begin to mold me through his spirit. And then he blessed me to receive my sight through the hands of his servant, Ananias. But not only did he tell me to rise and go, but he gave me a command to do. And it's something that's important to understand, that only you can do what God has purpose in your life for you. You can't hand it off. You can't ask someone else to do it for you. is only for you. He has prepared you for a specific job. He has prepared you for a specific duty that will serve his kingdom. And it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what you have done. All he asks is that you be willing for him to use you for his service. The scripture says that before he formed us in the belly, he knew us. And before we were born, he had appointed us to be a prophet to the nations. In other words, he appointed us to be a witness before we were born. So that means when my parents had me, God already knew where he was going to place me. Despite all the wrong that I did, and I was a hot mess, but he changed my life and made me who he wanted me to be. Because if I had not been Saul, I never would have become Paul. I wouldn't be able to tell people of the changing blood of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter, y'all, who and what you may have done. Jesus is able and can use you. But you have to first rise, go, and be willing to do. And what I like about Jesus is that he doesn't use a perfect person. He doesn't use perfect people. He doesn't call someone who has it all together. He uses those persons who have been through the mud, through the mire. Those persons who you would least expect to be a servant. Just look at me. I was a church persecutor. I was an accessory to murder. And God called me to proclaim his glorious gospel. But he did not just call me. Just take a look at Noah. A man who knew God, a man who trusted God, a man who loved God. But Noah had a little drinking problem. But God still used him to be the first shipbuilder, to be the first father of a new nation. Take Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham, when things got tough and his back was against the wall, he lied. He said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife because he was scared for his own life. And then he became impatient. God had promised him a son. But he felt God took too long, so he began in his own heart to help God out. And he messed up. But God called him the father of faith. And you got Moses. Born a Hebrew, raised an Egyptian. Finds himself now a fugitive and a runaway because he murdered someone. But God used him to be a great deliverer. And David. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. And he was a bad father. But God said he was a man after his own heart. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying that you are a precious jewel to God. Whatever you have done in your life, he knows all about it. He knew about it before you even did it. And he forgives you for that. But he wants you to be willing to come to him and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou wilt draw thyself from me, whither will I go? For he is our strength and our help. God has called each of us for a service. He has called each of us with a purpose. He has called us all to be a rescuer, to go to a dying world and proclaim that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, wrapped himself in humanity, walked this earth 33 long years, healing and delivering. He wants us to tell a dying world that Jesus came, disrobed himself in glory, and submitted himself to be brutalized, to be beaten, to be spat upon, and to be placed upon a rugged cross, to be told and be mocked, and to be told that if he could deliver himself to just come down from the cross. But it was love that kept him there. As they took his arms and they stretched them across the beams, and as they began to nail his hands to the cross, as they began to rivet his feet and nail them to the cross, as they began to lift him up, as they began to draw him higher and higher and higher, not because he had done anything wrong, but he was dying for your sin and mine. And he wants us to proclaim that he is the true and the living God, that his blood will wash away the dirtiest sin, and that his love will draw in the hardest sinner. He wants us to tell a dying world that he went to the grave and stayed 3 days and three nights. That on Friday night, they buried him and put him in a borrowed tomb. And Saturday night, he stayed all night long. But early on the third day morning, that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He wants us to be his rescuers. There's young men, young women out in this world who are dying. Dying because they don't know him. Dying because they don't know of his power to heal, power to deliver, and power to save. And that's why he uses you and I. That's why he called me. Yes, I was a mess. Yes, I tried to destroy the church. Yes, I was a murderer. I watched Stephen die. But God called me because even in my mess, God saw a blessing that I could be. And even in your mess, God sees your worthiness. God sees that you are worth it. God sees that you are the one he wants to use for his glory. It doesn't matter what you've done. I can't stress that enough. I feel someone here feels that God has just said, forget it. But he hasn't. The enemy will always try to tell you that you have, that it's too late. But it's never too late. I stand as an example. I saw, stand as an example, that if he can take a persecutor, if he can take someone like me and transform his life, who are you to say that he can't use you? Because God created you. And when he created you in his image, and he created you for his purpose. I want you to be blessed today, and I want you to go with this knowing that whatever God has for you, receive it. Whatever God has called you to do, accept it. Whatever God is moving you towards, go to it. Because in your obedience, God will use you and he will be glorified through you. Thank God for your past. Give him praise for your present. And glorify him for your future. I leave you with this blessing. That may the peace of God, our Father, the immutable one, the everlasting one, the invisible, may he be given glory, honor, forever and ever, and that you may be magnified for his purpose. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What a very powerful message that God's brought through Minister Rogers today. I think part of the heart of what he was saying is that it doesn't matter what you've done. And I'd just like to draw your mind's eye to that. And as Minister Rogers mentioned, there may be one or two here today that you've done some bad things. And just like he said, the evil one loves to convince you that because of the things that you've done, you're not worthy to come to God. You're not worthy to be forgiven. And the truth is, we're not worthy to be forgiven. But God has forgiven us through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. I'd like to draw your attention to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It's a very powerful verse. Acts 8, verse 1 looks at Saul. And it says that Saul looked with favor upon those who stoned Stephen to death. So right after Stephen is stoned to death, it says that Saul looked with favor upon that. And don't miss the meaning of that verse. Acts 8, verse 1 means that Saul was the boss, that he was in charge. So whose evil is greater? The people who threw the stones at Stephen, or the person who was in charge of all the people who threw those stones at Stephen? I submit to you, Saul's evil was greater. And I want to ask you to think about, maybe you came here today just barely dragging yourself here. And maybe you came here today full of guilt, full of shame, and feeling like that you could not receive Christ. Let me ask you, I love the term Minister Rogers used. Maybe it's some kind of big hot mess that you've gotten yourself into. Let me ask you what about what you've done. Is it worse than what Saul did? Is it worse than killing Christians? Is what you've done worse than overseeing a group of people who would kill Christians? I submit to you that whatever you've done, however bad it may be, that it's not worse than overseeing a group of men killing Christians. And so great is the grace of God that what that means is whatever you've done, you can be forgiven. You can be restored. You can be made right. And God gives that to you. He presents that to you. But the only way that can be made real is if you say, I want that gift. I need that gift. I need that salvation. And nobody else can do that for you. You have to come to that point where you say, I'm ready. I need that forgiveness that Saul got. I want that forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for me. And let me ask you, have you come to that point? Can you point to that time in your life when you said, I need that salvation? If you can't, you maybe you've come to church for a long, long time. Maybe you've done a lot of ministry. But let me tell you, you can strive and strive and strive. But unless you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be made whole. You cannot be forgiven. So we're asking you, will you give your life to Jesus today? Please don't leave here. There's no magic formula, but it's all about being real. It's all about saying, I'm going to swallow my pride. I know that I need a Savior. I believe Jesus died for me. Will you make that real today and pray to receive him? But I think there's another word, at least as the Spirit was speaking to me this day, another word here today for believers. And this is so common and so real. Even as believers, the Christian life is full of those mountaintop moments, and it's full of those valleys. That's just how it is, isn't it? And maybe some of you here today, you're in those valleys, and you know what it is, and you've fallen into a deep sin. And the evil one is so real and so powerful, and if you've fallen into a deep sin, we know his tricks. The evil one's trying to tell you, stay down. That's where you belong. You're not worthy to get up. You're not worthy to serve God. Just stay down. You've messed up too bad. And many Christians can hear that and believe it. And we can put on a good front. We can fool people around us. We can put on a mask. But in our hearts, in the depths of our souls, we know that we're covered with guilt and covered with shame. And the evil one has successfully put out the joy of our salvation. And we stop being on fire for him. And I suspect with this many people here today that there's at least a few of you that's right where you are. You're in one of those valleys and you fall into sin. And I don't have to tell you. The Spirit is telling you that the joy is gone. That you've lost that fire for Jesus Christ. If that's where you are today, you don't have to stay there. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10, the same Paul says, "When I am weak, then I am strong. Even though I'm weak, God is greater." And God can restore the joy of your salvation. The evil one doesn't have to keep you down. You don't have to stay there. But again, it takes you coming to God and saying, "God, I want to be real. I don't want to stay in this sin. I don't want to stay buried by the guilt and the shame. God, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? Would you take that away? I want to live for you once again." You can make that decision today, or you can stay. You can stay buried by that sin. Or you can come to Jesus and swallow your pride and say, "Jesus, I'm tired of living that way. That sin that I've fallen into, Jesus, I want, please take it away. Give me victory. Help me to live for you once again."